Praise God for the merit of Christ. It is our hope. That is our righteousness, and in that we can rest, we can have peace, confidence, and assurance. And as we looked at last week from Jeremiah, the first verses of chapter 23, and what Jeremiah is disclosing, and it's no surprise to us that the Lord is forever faithful. He is faithful to His Word, and we can rest in it, and we can trust it as we trust Him. And certainly the theme of this morning was and is the Word of God. And it is that which has been entrusted to us, that which was entrusted to Jeremiah, where we will see again this morning, and that to which God takes very seriously, those that speak His Word, those that quote His Word, those that would testify, thus saith the Lord. If you stand in that place, then you are accountable. You're accountable to Him, and certainly you are required to get it right. And as Jeremiah, he lives in Jerusalem, in Judah at that time. Certainly the word on the street is, thus saith the Lord. But the reality is, thus saith the wisdom of man. Thus saith what your ears want to hear. Thus saith what will make me powerful and give me and maintain my position in this religiosity, this religious structure that I love so much but that God detests. And I say that because what Jeremiah faced, and hopefully you got the message, as we are now in chapter 23, it's what we face as well. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, to declare the word of the Lord. We know he was created for that purpose. He was specifically called forth and enabled by the Spirit of God with the word of God to deliver the message of God to an unbelieving world, an unbelieving nation. Is that not our calling in Christ? We have been shown the grace of God as He has opened our eyes and we've received His Word. We understand our desperation and our need for it, and it has come in, and as we have surrendered to Him, our souls have been revived. As we have come to understand the redemption that is in Christ, and John tells us that Jesus in the upper room was telling His disciples that the Comforter was going to come and that He would fill them and He would lead them forward for the purpose of testifying to the truth. As Jesus talked to His disciples before His ascension at the end of Matthew, He gave them the Great Commission, and it's to what? As you're going, make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. Take the word that I have delivered, that God has delivered, and go and spread it. You are messengers of mine. And I go over this again so I can build a bridge back to Jeremiah. Do you understand that Jeremiah's calling in ministry is the believer's calling in ministry? To take the word of the Lord and to live it powerfully. We read from, Jim read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you read about the culture and the community that Timothy is being sent forth to minister in. And it's the world that Jeremiah lived in. Right? It's the world that we live in. It is a world that is bound up in sin and rebellion against God, and God has sent forth His people, His prophets, into the world to declare His message. And as we read in Scripture, there is the office of prophet, and Jeremiah certainly fit that office. He was a prophet called of God, just like Elijah and Elisha, just like Samuel. And he fulfilled that prophetic office, and certainly it was a special place. There is the office, and then there is the function. And not to dig a ditch too deep here and to split hairs about it, but what was the function of the prophet? To declare the word of the Lord, to testify rightly to what had been delivered to him. right? There is that function, and it's in that function that we are sent forth, and that Christ's disciples, even in Matthew chapter 10, were sent out to go and to testify and to bring the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven has come. And how much greater is our message in its completeness in Christ, understanding His finished work, the good news of the gospel. As Jack Watson would say, the very best good news. Right? That's what the world needs to hear, and we are sent forth as lights in the darkness to testify to Him, to deliver His word. So how well do you know His word? You can't speak unless you know the message you've been given. You can't testify to something you don't know. And so it's incumbent upon us to know Him as we know His word. And then we go speak as He has called us. And we speak as He sends us. And as we are going, we speak. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. Before we get to Jeremiah 23, as Peter exhorting the church that is experiencing great persecution in 1 Peter chapter 2, he likens the believers to you yourselves like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. And going and talking about the ministry of Christ, He is the stone that the builders rejected. He has become the cornerstone. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you, believer in Christ, you, member of His church, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim, Justin. Right? That you may proclaim, O sorrow, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What's your job? To proclaim. What do you proclaim? The work of the Lord, the word of the Lord, what He has revealed to us. For once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Right, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. If you have received mercy, you have the obligation, you have the commission, you have the responsibility to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and has now established you into His marvelous light. And so we are created, recreated in Christ and sent forth to testify. And I say that because there's a lot that we can learn as we look back to Jeremiah. He is a lot like us. He was a lot like we are. Testifying God's truth in a day and age where people do not want to hear it. Or in this particular part of Jeremiah, testifying in a day and age when people have distorted it, where they have changed it and modified it and refashioned it for a purpose outside of pursuing godliness, righteousness, and declaring truth. And it shouldn't surprise us, because the Lord knew these days would come. He foretold them. You can look into past in the Old Testament and see in the book of Joshua, the days are coming. You can look to Moses' words as he's delivering them on at the end of Deuteronomy. The days are coming when you're going to turn your back on the word of the Lord, and the Lord is going to bring His judgment, because He cares about His word and its integrity and its fulfillment. And as He cares, so we must give careful attention so as to not fall down and to relinquish our calling. I say all that to bring us to Jeremiah chapter 23. Entitled this sermon, What Are You Saying? And it goes both ways. It should be for the righteous person in our day and age who is in Christ, should with a discerning ear be able to listen to what is being said in the name of God and to discern that it is the foolishness of human thinking when it is distorted and wrong. We call that discernment, right? We need to be discerning people that when you hear something, you say, what are you saying? Are you quoting Jesus? Are you quoting the Word of God? Because, you know, I know the Word of God. And that's not it. Or be there to guide and to direct into proper interpretation. And then again, it drives us back. We have to know. We've got to know Him and we've got to know His Word. It's part of our calling and our commission. Jeremiah 23, verse 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome with wine because of the Lord and because of His holy words. Jeremiah here is looking out, and you know what? He has been dramatically impacted by the word of the Lord. We've seen that through the pages now as we're making our way through the book. He is consumed by the word of the Lord. He would rather shut his mouth and be quiet, but what? It's burning within him. And he can't keep quiet. He's got to continue to testify. And what? He's looking and he is seeing the world around him, and he is consumed by the word of the Lord. And it is the word of the Lord that is shaping his perspective of the world around him. And he says in verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers. Because of the curse of the land mourns, and the pastures of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil, and their might is not right. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. Even in my house I have found their evil, declares the Lord. So Jeremiah is looking out, and he comes alongside the Lord in his perspective, and he sees sin, wickedness, evil abounding. And with that, through his knowledge of God and His Word and consequences that are promised, he also looks and sees the destruction that is coming upon both the city and the land. God promised famine for disobedience. He promised destruction for disobedience. And Jeremiah is looking out. He knows the word of the Lord, and that gives him the understanding to interpret what is going on. There's correlation here on the actions of the people and the consequences of the circumstances that are before them. And why? Because there's knowledge and understanding of His Word. He has been changed. He has been impacted by it. And thus, Jeremiah knows who he is. He knows what he has said. And he knows what has been revealed. And with that, it brings him, as we have seen time and time again, he is a man of conviction. We in Christ need to be people of conviction, knowing the word of the Lord. If we say that is something that cannot be changed and something that it has a determined outcome because the Lord has spoken, that should be the basis of our conviction. And that is also, in many respects, the basis of the persecution and suffering that will come against us. That's why they go hand in hand, because we stand as a messenger of the truth of God in a world that hates Him. Don't be dissuaded, don't be downcast because of the hatred and the reviling of the world. But it was clear to both Jeremiah and to the Lord that sin abounded in that time and in that day, in a place that should have been a beacon of hope and light for the world. There was evil. There was ungodliness. Even in his house. The priesthood. The religious structure that was put into place for worship and praise and glory for God was completely riddled with corruption and sin. And when there is no understanding and there is no voicing of the Word of God, all hope is lost. But God in His grace sends Jeremiah. And again I ask the question, who wants that job? Because it is so hard, and you stand alone by yourself, absorbing their hatred for God. Their course is evil. Their might is not right. They are ungodly. Even the house of the Lord filled with evil. Therefore, their way shall be to them like slippery paths in darkness, into which they shall be driven and fall, for I will bring disaster upon them in the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. I wish it said, the Lord said, I'll bring punishment upon them now. Right? That would have solved. You know, if the Lord would have done that in Jeremiah chapter 1, we could have moved on to something else. But as we continue on through the book, we know and we understand that the mercy and grace of God continues to work even through dismal and dark and evil situations. And in those situations, faithfulness is proven by the people of God. Obedience is worked out and lived out as those with evil and power whose might is not right in this day and age have their way and contend against those who hold forth the truth. But it brings to conviction. And conviction in the Word of God is what allows us to call sin, sin. Not popular. To hold up the Word of God and to say that the Lord Himself creates life and abortion is murder. That says God calls homosexuality an abomination. The world will hate you as it hates me saying it. And ultimately they hate God in His standard. But are we going to surrender to fit in? Are we going to be silent so that we can have our place in this world? I hope we can look at Jeremiah and we can see, you know what God called, and we looked at this, right, for 3 weeks. Life, misery, and the pursuit of faithfulness. Was it chapter 16 through 20 of Jeremiah? He calls you, He gives you life. He's given us new life. In many respects, He calls us to misery. But He calls us to faithfulness. We saw what happened to Jeremiah. He was beaten. He was threatened with death. Right? He was maligned. He hated the day of his birth twice, at the beginning and at the end. But it was no mistake of God. He had him right where He wanted him. And we need to understand that with conviction, the world is going to hate us. That is clear through and through in Scripture. But God is at work. There is a righteous standard. There is light that we need to shine in this dark world. And through the shining of the light of God's truth and the glory of Christ, God draws individuals to Himself. And as we bear witness, God uses that through the working of His Spirit to bring individuals to Himself. But know and understand that the path and the pattern of this world is a slippery path into the darkness that leads to death. Disaster from the Lord, I will bring disaster upon them. Who is it? The prophets who are supposedly speaking for Him, but also the priests who are in His temple. Supposing to be the ministers of worship and the mediators between God and man. Do you understand the thoroughness of the corruption? And that those who are esteemed in their culture as the godly ones are under condemnation. Just because you participate in the practice or have a position of leadership in a church does not mean that you have arrived in righteousness. That you are where you need to be in Christ. There have always been charlatans and those that have taken positions in the service of God for personal gain, to their own destruction. Oh, that we would check our hearts, our motives, our desires, and most importantly, check our relationship with the Lord. You're not playing games with anybody but yourself. Because at the end of the day, we stand before the Lord, accountable to Him, and as the series title of Jeremiah is, there is no place to hide. He knows and He sees. He judges at the level of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. But know this, that He will bring upon them punishment, that disaster is at the doorstep. Verse 13, and the prophets of Samaria, this would be Israel to the north, who has already gone into captivity by Assyria, he saw an unsavory thing, right? It was distasteful. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. That was the pattern since they broke away from Judah following Jeroboam and Rehoboam and their fracture there after Solomon. Right? They followed after the gods of their own making, and particularly here, Baal. Right? They were ungodly in their pursuits. But in the prophets of Jerusalem, it's not just a distasteful thing, it's a horrible thing, right? They had the word of the Lord. They had good and godly kings. Even in Jeremiah's time, you remember when he started testifying, it was under Josiah. They found the book of the law and the reforms, and there's a great revival, and oh, we're on the path that we need to be on. And then his sons and a grandson took over for him, and now destruction is upon them. But in Jerusalem, those that were possessors of the word of the Lord and His law, it's a horrible thing. They committed adultery and they walked in lies. They strengthened the hand of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. They strengthened the hand of evildoers so that no one turned from his evil. There was no repentance. There was no relationship with the truth. There was no relationship with the Lord. There was no means of administering to those people the truth of the Lord. Without a standard, we will not fulfill what He has called us to. The standard is His Word. The standard is His righteousness disclosed to us in His Word. And we are to be an instrument of change. allowing God to use the light that He has given to us to pull people out of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness, and establish them in the kingdom of His Son. We participate in God's Word as we let our light shine, as we let His Word flow through us and His Spirit use us. You think about the objective is to contend with evil in this world. And that's a battlefront. That's ground zero. That's the heat of the battle. That's where persecution finds the faithful believer. When you call out and cry out sin and judgment and the reality of hell, you will be silenced in this world. But that's our calling. That's the mission that God has left us here to accomplish. And so if you read on from 2 Timothy chapter 3, you get into chapter 4, and what's the admonition? Yeah, we live in a world where people love themselves and they gather around those that they want to hear and they pat each other on the back and all is great, but you are supposed to be different. And the admonition for Timothy is preach the word. Don't cower away somewhere. Don't cloister up all of you believers and just huddle together and just wait with your kumbaya until the Lord returns. No. Preach the word. Get out there. And let the individuals know that there is accountability, there is truth, and there is a way that leads to life, and His name is Christ. But the religious establishment of Jeremiah's day was such that no one turned from his evil. And the Lord says, all of them have become like Sodom to me and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. And you think about the detestable nature of that. And you think about, biblically speaking, what that brings about, and it is the wrath of God clearly demonstrated. I referenced before here from Matthew chapter 10, as Jesus sends out His disciples into the world. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you're going, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or staff, for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. And we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet there is more guilt incurred understanding the further revelation of Christ and the fulfillment of His covenant promises in Him, that there is heightened accountability and judgment for those who reject the plain revelation of God's mercy and grace and the fulfillment of His truth. And from that then, you got persecution will come. Verses 16 through 25. And then verses 26 through 33, have no fear. Right? There is conviction, there is understanding, and there is continued standing. Have no fear of them. He says, for what I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Right? The eyes of the Father are upon you. So go and live faithfully. Continue on in Jesus' teaching here. He's like, you know what? It's not going to be peaceful. Right? I come not to bring peace to the earth. Right? But a sword. Right? There is work to be done. There is division that's going to happen. There are battles to be engaged in. But what we do with the truth of God and the Word of God demonstrates the veracity of the work of Christ and His worth to the one who declares it. That my relationship with Christ is worth more than my relationship with my mom, with my dad, with my brothers, with my sister. It's about love and devotion and commitment, and Christ calls that of His people. And He ends chapter 10 then with the reward. The reward of faithfulness to the one who, as a prophet, is faithful, or to the one who receives the prophet. Right? There is a reward to be received. And it comes from conviction. It comes from carrying the standard of righteousness in very appropriate ways. And calling people to repent. Jesus says, or the Lord says, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. The state of the people of God in Jeremiah's day. Rampant ungodliness. Verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. They are preaching, teaching, holding forth a very welcoming message. You can do whatever you want to do. You can be whoever you want to be. You can pursue whatever you want to pursue. And it is going to fulfill you just as you desire. And it is all a lie. There is one way that leads to life, and it's very narrow. Paved with the Word of God. And it leads to the blessing of God. And you have those who are speaking and giving these great promises that you can have it all and it will be well with you. And it's so clear, the objective, and where this message comes from. And it's right there in the middle of chapters, in verse 17. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart. Back to the problem. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And as you feed that malady in the human race, you get unspeakable evil. Unspeakable distortions of truth that have disastrous results. Even though it's promised, it won't lead to destruction. It'll lead to your happiness. It will lead to fulfillment, satisfaction. It's a lie. It's a lie. They are speaking out of their own mind. Verse 18, for who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear His word, or who has paid attention to His word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. when you position yourself in such a society with such teaching, the storm is brewing. The storm is brewing for America. Can you look at the horizon and see the manifestation of clouds? Can you hear the approaching thunder? You can't cultivate ungodliness, unrighteousness in a land and expect fruitfulness. Read it. It never flourishes. It finds the wrath of God and destruction. Jeremiah is pointing it out, and we cannot live with the delusion or the understanding that America is an exception. And so what? We're called to faithfulness. We're not called to make it right. Jeremiah wasn't called to go into the temple and to get rid of all of the false prophets and the false priests and install some godly people. That was not his mission. God called him to preach and to live faithfully. Understand the outcome and the objective is in the Lord's hands. He's the one that brings the storm. He's the one that brings the wrath. And continuing on, a whirling tempest, and it will burst upon the head of the wicked, those who have been deluded with ungodly teaching and the flourishing of their natural human heart. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. And in the latter days, you will understand it clearly. Verse 21, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil deeds. What is it that would have made a difference? And we'll move to close here. The word of the Lord. Coming into his presence and understanding him. Positioning yourself under the counsel of God Almighty. It's the message we have. It is the message of our salvation. And we love it. It's the message that we have been sent forth to proclaim. And the world hates it. But we must be faithful. We must walk and live so as to be directed by the word of the God. The word of the Lord needs to be that light unto our path. And continually we see that as the word has lived, is lived out in that way, there is a call for change in life. There is the opportunity no longer to be bound up in sin on your way to destruction, but that there is the mercy of the Lord that delivers one to life. For if they would have proclaimed his words, as it ends there in verse 22, they would have turned from their evil way and from their evil deeds. And just to step back as we close here to understand. Well, what we see through all of this in our day and age is the intent and purpose of the church. The church is to be that place that testifies to the truth of God's word. And bear up the understanding of the hope for humanity is not in more education or better government or better policies. Into a transformed human heart by the grace of God, by the work of Christ. That's the hope. That's the hope. There are a lot of things that we can hold forth and champion in this world, but there is nothing greater and there is no greater responsibility for the people of God than God's truth to be proclaimed rightly. As Jeremiah was the prophet, as he was the messenger of hope in 600 BC, the people of God who are in Christ are the messengers of hope in 2024. God calls us together as a church to be strengthened, to be equipped. With what? His word. For what? For every good work. Knowing that his word is sufficient, right? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. What do we need? Righteousness. Where is it found? Not in us, in God, revealed to us, secured for us in Christ, in which we've been sent forth to testify to the only way, to the only truth, to the only life, and that is Christ. Do you know him? And if you know him, then the question comes to you. What is your life saying? What is your testimony saying? What would your coworkers, what would your neighbor, what would your spouse, what would your parent, what would your child say of you and the message you proclaim? Is it the word of the Lord? Is there consistency with the mouth and with the life? Is there both the presentation and the practice? What are you saying? And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, please hear what he's saying. He's saying there is a way. And it's from God. It's a way that he has provided. And it's a way that leads to life. And God has given his Son. So that those who are on the way to death and destruction can be redeemed from sin and death by the righteousness of his Son, by the shedding of his righteous blood. And in him we have life. In him we have hope. He is the satisfaction that God requires. And if you come to humble yourself and trust in Christ alone, you understand the truth of God's revelation. And as he draws you to himself, as he opens your eyes, he opens your ears, and he humbles you before him, you understand his amazing grace and the power of his love and the extent of his mercy. And he gives you the Spirit within you to carry forth the light, the hope, the truth that he has revealed to you, that others may see and turn and repent and find their rest in God. Let's pray. Almighty God, you are our hope. You are our life. Lord, it's clear in your word that you chose us. We did not choose you, and I pray that you would do your work in here this morning, either to confirm your love and your grace and your mercy upon those who are yours, and empower them and encourage them and strengthen them to leave this place and to go out, Lord, to where you have sent them to testify with boldness and with clarity and with conviction. And Lord, if you need to humble hearts, Lord, we pray that you would draw individuals to yourself, that you would amaze them with your grace. Astound them, Lord, with the extent of your love that you gave your Son, that they may live, that sin may be dealt with and atoned for. Lord, I pray that in this hour, in this moment, Lord, that each one in here, Lord, would be directed to move forward in your truth, in appropriate ways. Father, we're grateful that you, in your providence, in your divine mercy, have seen fit to reveal yourself. Truly, without that, there would be no hope. And so, Lord, we thank you again for Christ, for his work, and for his ongoing ministry as our great high priest. We thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.